again, I mean, if anybody's got a burning question, they would like, can y'all hear me? Yeah, there we go. If anybody has a burning question, please ask. I've seen the cars at work, and it's really quite impressive. And, you know, Scott, you guys are mayor. Sorry, I'm probably going to call him Scott. I mean, it's what we always call him. And I will have to say about the playing the games, I thought what happened on the island stayed on the island, but we'll leave it like that. one thing, I mean, we our audience is full of manufacturers. And I know you talked about funding sources, and obviously this is not a revenue-neutral program. And I think maybe one question I would ask you is how can the individuals in this room help a program like what you have?
So you just utilize it. I know that's billable hours for us, but just utilize it. We'll figure out some of the funding arms as well. But every time you buy that ride card, that assures us that the thing is robust and growing. Again, we're not in the make-money business. We'd like to be in the revenue-neutral business, but when it comes to a quality-of-life issue like this, we fully understand that that's something that we just have to offer. I don't know why they didn't understand it earlier, but that is.
Do you think that is changing the perception?
100%.
Great. Because, yep. I mean, tell everyone the statistic again on how many are actually utilizing this service to go to work.
Sure. 50-plus percent of every single ride hailed as well. 50%. Everything else falls in behind that. Shopping is number two. Healthcare is number three, and 1,000 other destinations behind that one as well.
So one other question, and I'm going to turn it to the audience, because, I mean, obviously in this room we have a lot of competitors. And one thing that I have been asked, even outside of this conference, talking to some folks at the State House about this, well, what happens if you have competitors in the same vehicle? I mean, that seemed to have been a concern of some of the employers. I don't necessarily know if that is a specific issue in Valdosta, but it bodes the question and helps maybe set an argument as to why that business partnership may be beneficial, because you could have a fleet strictly for your industry. Is that something you all have talked about?
Yeah, it is. We're not to the point where that's necessary. BSU might be our first. Once BSU does it, we'll actually be dedicating vehicles in that stream to Valdosta State University as well. But that's easily can be tailored to manufacturing without hesitation, without a question. If you've got a need to get 20 people out there every single day, we'll do it. That will adapt, and we can adapt in a day as well.
Okay. So does anyone in the audience have a question for Scott?
Yeah.
I don't know if I need it, but what is the average wait time for when somebody acknowledges they need a ride to when the ride share comes and picks them up?
Not bad. If fully accepted, I mean, if that's accepted without any hesitation, it's about 4 minutes. It's pretty good.
Average wait time from when you get on the ride to when you're dropped off at your destination? Because I assume if a lot of people are in the vehicle with you, it's probably, you know, whoever's the first stop and so on and so forth.
Yep. I actually don't have that stat. You're routed indirectly there. You're going to go get two more pickups and then be dropped as well, but it's obviously pretty efficient.
Maybe, Scott, correct me if I'm wrong, but the way that it's a set route, correct?
It is not.
It is not. Okay, so we're going to learn here.
It is routing software that just plain says, of the three calls that we're about to answer, here's the most efficient route to pick up, drop off. So you might get, it's rare that you get more than three people in the vehicle at a time because, again, same thing, they're heading toward the destination. They're just picking up along the way. Somebody logs in Houston during the day and services the Valdosta map that day. So it's wherever, it's whoever that VIA has log in that day, looks at our map, our roads, and just starts doing that routing all day long. It's orchestrated beautifully. They're in constant motion. You never get on our roads where you don't pass at least two of the vehicles going some destination in your route. Yeah, I smile every time I see them on the road. It's a great system. We skill plus luck got us there.
I know you said that right now you're only doing from 5:30 a.m. to 9 p.m., For those that are in the manufacturing sector that work 24/7 and have around-the-clock operations, is that going to be something that you will try to, I guess, bridge that gap as you grow and try to tailor towards manufacturing?
Yeah, when presented to us, absolutely. We've talked about it, everybody, when we expanded. A lot of the surveys said Saturday and Sunday, and we're not in that business. So we had to tell a large number of respondents that we're not going Saturday and Sunday. But, Mayor, what about church? But, Mayor, what I said, that's not the business we're in. And we're the city of Valdosta. We're not a private sector company that they can fall back on them. And there's many. There's still Uber and Lyft operating in our town, and there is taxi cab services in our town. So we'd have to defer to those. But yes, for manufacturing, we'd get nimble.
Any ability to schedule ahead of time, or it's all on demand?
Yeah, get this. So we actually got out in front of this thing and said, but a good way, if you got. If you're going to dialysis 3 days a week and you know it's a Monday, Wednesday, Friday, lock it in and you will be guaranteed that time. And that had a much better success rate. It was only about a 4% bounce rate when that started operating that way. But it's been damning to us because the scheduled rides are the canceled rides. So the scheduled rides are taking our vehicles offline because people either don't show or cancel. So the scheduled rides have actually been damning to the success of the program thus far. So that was something we planned on. That was something we touted as a benefit and a plus, and it's turned out to be a negative in the program. So we're going to reduce or eliminate that, and then we're going to punish for cancellations. That's all something that we're now adapting as well. Meaning you might not get that ride when you call.
Mayor, first and foremost, I have to applaud you and the city for taking on this endeavor because this is outside the box thinking.
Thank you.
And really a potential solution that can be expanded upon to help alleviate this 56% of our members that say transportation is a main barrier. So with that, you know, you can definitely see how there has to be a sustainable public-private partnership moving forward, especially if you need to expand services. So if you have a manufacturer, let's say we have a manufacturer that says, you know what, we want to participate, we need this transportation for our workforce, how much would a van cost for them to, like, ensure that that's being dedicated to them?
$42 an operating hour. I know it exactly. And again, that's for their leases, their employees, their benefits, the fuel, the maintenance, and otherwise. I get what the formula is. It's an expensive hour, but it's a very efficient one and one with great return. So, yes, it would be easy for us to tell you what the price of operating just for you would be.
Yeah, so that kind of stole a little bit of thunder from my question. But I was wondering, so if we know the operating costs, like, and I know it sounds like the funding is kind of structures a little bit of a constraint on the parameters. Do you know, as far as like the industry, you know, manufacturing, supply chain companies that are in your service area, how much of it you'd be able to service versus not? And if companies wanted to just buy capacity through you, would that impact like subcontracting out the capacity? Would that be impact your funding through the, you know, the government channels you have?
Yeah. So remember, if I go outside the city limits, I'm running afoul of the grant funding, and there's just no way to offset that. There's 80-20 on some of that funding arm and 50-50 on some of the other funding arms that are there that we've pieced together. So I can't run afoul of that funding and it still operate the model if I go outside the city limits. So for manufacturing, if that's the question.
So help me out here. So I think maybe part of the question was, is let's say company X buys a van and they contract with the city who runs this program and is paying for the van and paying for the route, but you would implement it and run it. Does that affect the grant that you have?
Yeah, and I'm not there yet. VIA does all that. So we lay out the parameters of that contract. 3 times in the 2 years, we have come before council again and said we need to alter the parameters of that contract ever so slightly to cover some of that funding arm and the program and the way it runs. So, yes, it is that nimble, but that would be for VIA to work with us on a contract
what's the total operating cost, you know, in the current program that you're basically, if you were to say, hey, you know, make this privately funded enterprise for the city and eliminate some of those constraints? Like, what's even like the size of the equation that you're looking at?
Just shy of $3 million.
$3 million.
Yep. If I got rid of all, bye-bye 5307, bye-bye 5310, bye-bye to the offset of the $2 and the $2 times 120, I'm going to have to go up with that $2, by the way. I'm going to have to, in next operating year, I'm going to go up to $3. No big deal, but it's $120,000 for the relief. We just approved for VIA to put monitors, placards on the side of the vehicles now, and then monitors inside for advertising. That should offset about $150,000 annually. They pay for all that infrastructure, and they do a 65 to us, 35 to them split on the revenue. So again, we're trying to get creative to keep the thing up and operating. But I think it's adaptable to absolutely anything. This company would never say no to anything on this planet. They're amazing.
Okay, well, I would like to close with one question, Scott. I mean, our audience is full of manufacturers. It's full of community leaders. So one thing that I would ask you, because, I mean, obviously you build it from the ground up. Like, what's maybe the number one or number two thing that you could tell the audience of how to start implementing or having those conversations for a program like this in their community? Like, what's the first thing you would tell them to go do?
Take a Zoom meeting with VIA. I don't have to say any more. I was presented with other companies. I was presented with companies that said what they can and can't do. The number two in the RFQ was just categories less services. And then when you hold your breath and you're about to open the actual bid envelope, VIA through almost double the services and meeting that RFQ was $300,000 in annual operating costs cheaper than the second place finisher in that contract process. So they're just incredibly efficient. Have the conversation with them and you'll walk out of that room going, anything's possible as well and affordable. They're just, they're in the transit business. They're 200 cities worldwide and all run in support of larger systems except for ours, and ours has been their new model. I've even offered ourselves for the grand experiment. I went to them and said, when you're ready to experiment and test autonomous vehicles in your company, I'm ready to be the grand experiment. The city of Valdosta is the right size. You could run 10 vehicles autonomously. The university, Valdosta State University, already did a very extensive study for me to show that people would be willing to hop in those vehicles with no driver pulled up in front of them. And most of them say, as long as I have the ability to grab the yoke at some points, it all starts going wrong. But they did a very extensive study, and the university's been a great partner. When I launched the model, they studied and asked the right questions in the town, presented me with that study. That helped me move in an efficient manner. But then again, they did it again for autonomous vehicles. Would people be willing to? We won three major awards in one program. We expanded our traffic management system. We won a Georgia Tech Smart Cities Award and got a nice $100,000 check. During COVID, I had to accept it virtually, but that put us in worldwide with 46 other cities for that same category. And I got flown to Barcelona, Spain to be runner-up to the port of Barcelona and ahead of Beijing, China, in the top three finishers for that same program. What it also did is move people fluently about our town, but it also set us up and got us ready for autonomous vehicles. It has identifiers on the 128 signals in the city limits of Valdosta so that I can be ready to expand my transit in an efficient manner. And I've made a promise to VIA, for every dollar you save me, because now you don't have the driver cost, you don't have the expense of training that driver and the benefits and pay of that driver, I will roll that back into the program. I'm not looking for cost savings. I'm looking for efficiencies and ways to expand that program as well. So that was my promise to VIA if they chose us for that experiment.
I think we can see that partnerships are going to be very important. I mean, we had two wonderful individuals talking about the youth programs that they do. As you can see, the program that the city runs partners with Wiregrass Technical College, partners with the high school, partners with the university, beginning to start partnering with manufacturing, which again is so important, and you start getting in the schools, and that may be an avenue to get students to your facilities for these programs that we just talked about earlier this morning. But I personally think it's a really cool thing that Valdosta is doing. It's very innovative. I think it has a lot of growth potential, especially on the manufacturing side. And I'm excited to see where it goes, especially with the way Valdosta is growing.
You mentioned work-based learning. I'm a huge fan. I sit on the board. It's one of my many boards, but I sit on the board of the work-based learning program. Jason Van Ness runs at Lowndes High School, only one of our high schools, and it's in both. It's very healthy. It's $1.6 million in actual wage that they generate, those 125 kids. And with an easy multiplier of about four, it's over $6.5 million worth of economic impact. And it adds 2 years to our workforce, 16, 17, 18, adds 3 years to our workforce. So I'm a huge fan of that program. It's very robust at that high school and throughout the South and Colquitt and Cook and some of the other high schools in that area. So I'm a huge fan. I heard it mentioned many times today.
Hey, does anybody have any other questions? Yes, sir.
I can hear you. So there is another program. The county had 5311 going on. Matter of fact, that was a phone call I got in the mountains right after I got elected, before I was even sworn in. They were supposed to carry me all the way through October. I was going to get sworn in January. The 5311 was bleeding into the city. They were going to carry me on that model all the way through October, but I got the phone call that as they renewed the contract, that their carrier did not want to run afoul of that 5311 that they operate on funding, and would not service the city of Valdosta. So we had limited service and then none until we could launch that program as well. So the constraints of those limit us. They're 5311 still operating, but they've gone to a regional basis with our regional development center. They pour their money into there, and that bunch is operating on a regional basis. So it's a good support system, but it's not near as efficient because it has so many more miles to cover as well.
Okay. Well, thank you, Scott. Really appreciate
your
mayor. Really appreciate your time coming.